plea for deliverance from enemies. To the leader with stringed instruments, a song of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your heads and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord.
You have put gladness in my heart, more than when the grain and wine abound.
I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
Our scripture reading is Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34. On page 6. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Thanks very much, Louise. A Chinese boy who wanted to learn about jade went to study with a talented old teacher. The gentleman put a piece of jade into the youth's hand and told him to hold on to it tightly. Then he began to talk of philosophy, men, women, the sun, and almost everything under it. After an hour, he took back the stone and sent the boy home. The procedure was repeated for weeks. The boy became frustrated about when would he be told about jade. But he was too polite to interrupt the venerable teacher. Then one day, the old man put a regular stone into his hand, and the boy cried out instantly, "That's not jade!" Learning and growing. In Job 32, verses 8 to 9, we read, "But it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. It is not only the old who are wise, not only the aged who understand what is right." For many of us, older among us, gray hair and a good head go hand in hand. But I have met some very wise young people in my life. Have you? As we age, unfortunately for some of us, we become set in our ways. What people learn in their 30s or 40s are enough for them, and they become entrenched in stubbornness, irritability, and self-imposed ways of thinking and living. Do we believe that this is God's plan for us as his creation? As Christians, I think the stocks are even higher when it comes to cultivating holy curiosity and a mindset of a lifelong learner. Teaching and learning are at the very heart of our faith. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be a learner, and Jesus' disciples we are. Jesus was the ultimate teacher, and his central task was to teach us who God was and to bring us into a new way of thinking about God, about rules for living, and about relationships. When I work in my counseling practice with couples, Very often couples will come to me and they want to have some type of education around the issue of communication. Because I think sometimes couples really struggle with how to communicate in a meaningful way with each other. And one of the suggestions that I often make to them is to go to the library together and to go to the section on relationships and to pull out 5 or 6 books, sit down together and read the first chapter and see if it's a book that they could learn something from. And most times those relationship books have some questions at the back of each chapter. And then I send them on to read individually the chapter for that week, and then to have a date night and to get together to discuss the questions at the end of each chapter. And I have seen some amazing things as couples have taken up that challenge at all ages and be willing to learn more about their relationship together. Communication is central to our learning. But as we learn, seeing is also very important. And as a family of God here in this place, we have a wonderful opportunity to gather to learn. Every Sunday, I have this privilege of interacting with you through the time of the sermon. Now, some of you do fall asleep, and I'm grateful because I know myself that there are some services I went to on numerous occasions when I was absolutely exhausted. And for me to close my eyes and put my head down, and I was listening, but it was restful listening. And I did not snore, and I did not fall asleep. I was listening, but I was resting. And so I always say to any of the nurses that I've taught through the years or any churches I've ever been in, if you feel the need to close your eyes and you can hear better that way, I encourage you to do so. Now, if all of you did that, I would really get a strong message. I would have to increase the volume of my voice. I'd have to do some antics up here. I'd have to get you up and down and up and down. But I do know from time to time it is really helpful to close our eyes and just listen. And so this is an opportunity of learning right here in this place every single week. And then there's other opportunities, and some of you will be gathering with Doug and Marion and myself, and we will be opening the Bible and we'll be dialoguing and searching and looking and wondering and asking questions and so forth. VBS, many of you were involved in VBS this summer. Wonderful opportunity of learning, not just for the young people, but for us as adults who are volunteering as well. So Christian faith is definitely not a finite course of study for the front end of our adulthood. Many people think it is, you know, when they get to being a teenager or get to being in their 20s, you know what, I don't need church anymore. I've learned it all. But how far from the truth is that? Because it's only the beginning. And our mindset should really be to be learning our whole life long. So how many of you are ready to embrace lifelong learning? Perhaps two questions emerge. First, is there a focus around how we should learn? And secondly, how do we embrace our learning as Christians? A father and his small son were out walking one day when the boy asked how electricity could go through the wires stretched between telephone poles. "I don't know," said his father. "I don't know much about electricity." A few blocks further on, the boy asked, "What causes lightning and thunder?" "That too puzzles me," came the reply. The youngster continued to inquire about many things, none of which his father could explain. Finally, as they neared home, the boy said, "Dad, I hope you don't mind all these questions." "Not at all," replied the father. "How else are you going to learn?" Learning usually passes through three states. In the beginning, you learn the right answers. In the second state, you learn the right questions. And in the third and final stage, you learn which questions are worth asking. I've diverted a bit from our two primary questions, so let me repeat them again. As Christians, what is our focus for learning? And secondly, how do we embrace our learning as Christians? Practically, how do we learn best? Well, if you had to choose a focus for our learning as Christians, what would it be? Why don't you think about that question? If you had to choose a focus for your learning as a Christian, what would it be? The history of Presbyterianism in Canada? The polity of our denomination? Those were all subjects I had to learn in Knox College. Or would we focus on learning on how to be better health-wise and in our well-being, physically, emotionally, so that we can address our spiritual needs? Should we learn more about other world religions to see if we can, if what we've been taught is really the best way to go? Or should we perhaps focus primarily on doing unto others as others would do unto us? While all of these areas are good, spending our lives as Christians exploring Jesus, God's incarnate word, putting our focus in the center of our learning in the person and work of Christ is paramount and very exciting, believe it or not. Why? Because Jesus is not dead. He is alive. All the other world teachers are dead. Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to walk alongside us and to help us learn in relationship with Jesus. And we learn more about Jesus by hearing his word in the living word. We learn more about Jesus when we have his ear in prayer. We learn more about Jesus as we share in community as this family of faith, and as we share who we are with the community around us, and as we invite others to join us in our journey to learn more about Jesus. What is one of the chief ways we learn about another person? By watching them in action and just hanging around with them. Why do you think take your child to work day has become so popular? Because it actually gives young people, and sometimes quite young children, an opportunity to see their mom and dad in a completely different setting than they normally do. And in that different context, they learn more about who they are as a person. In Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19, we read of Paul's prayer for the church. He said, "I ask him to strengthen you by the Spirit, not of brute strength, but of glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet firmly planted on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth of that love. Teach its length. Plummet the depths of his love. Rise to the heights of his love. Live full lives, fully in the fullness of God." So lifelong learning as Christians is not merely digging into a bottomless store of information that is there to learn about the world, humanity, and history, but rather plunging into the infinite love of Christ. For us as Christians, the center of our lifelong learning is knowing God himself in Christ. And it's through the Bible, as we read the stories, as we hear the stories, as we study and memorize and even meditate upon those stories, that we just learn more about who Jesus is. So the second question is, how best do we learn? And I'm the first person to say that we all learn differently. May I make five suggestions for us as we look at this issue of learning better? Number one, learn from your sources. Be open to conversations with people that you value as Christians. Read books, attend a class or a workshop, watch an educational video, listen to podcasts, and be open to looking at new ways of learning that you haven't used before and keep it discovering it. Secondly, create space and redeem spare time for learning. I know that everyone in this church live very, very busy lives. And sometimes You don't have time to actually pray or read the Bible in everyday life. However, it doesn't take but 5 minutes to read the Daily Bread at the back. It's a very short meditation. It doesn't take more than maybe 3 minutes. And it will give you some thoughts for the day that help you to consider who Jesus is. For me, I have someone who sends me about a 1.5-sentence thought for the day. And every day when I wake up, when I go onto my iPhone, I can see that thought for the day. And it encourages me. And it doesn't take maybe 10 seconds to read it. But I think about it through the day. So you need to redeem that time for you to be able to grow in your faith in whatever way you can make it happen. Thirdly, mind your mindless moments. I, every now and then, encourage everyone to take an inventory of how you spend a day of your life. How many hours do you spend surfing online? How many hours do you spend watching mindless entertainment? How many hours are spent simply vegging out when there could be a moment when you could do something more? And at the end of the day, most of us who work very hard don't have a lot of time left. But if we can take inventory every now and then, we might find a few moments here and a few moments there that we can do something different than what we normally do. Fourthly, with the new media advantages that we have about us, with e-readers and YouTube and all of the internet access, it's very easy to access information that will grow our faith. And finally, declare yourself a lifelong learner. Resist the urge to squander spare time with meaningless activity and take the opportunity to be able to learn. Just make it a goal for yourself. And at the end of the day, our desire to be lifelong learners will be to our advantage. Let me end with this story. Howard Hendricks shared this insight about the value of learning. When I was a college student, I worked in the college dining hall, and on my way to work at 5:30 every morning, I walked past the home of one of my professors. Through the window, I could see a light on at his desk morning after morning. At night, I stayed late at the library to take advantage of evening study hours and returned home at 10:30 or 11 p.m. And I would again see him at his desk with his light on. He was always poring over his books. One day, he invited me home for lunch, and after the meal, I said to him, "Would you mind if I asked you a question?" "Of course not," he said. "What keeps you studying? You never seem to stop." His answer, "I would rather have my students drinking from a running stream than a stagnant pool."